welcome to the Catholic Apostolate Center podcast. This is Lindsay Myers. I'm the editing associate at the Catholic Apostolate Center. And today we are talking with Julia Dzelski, the Assistant Director of Marriage, Family Life, and Laity at the USCCB. We're going to hear a little bit about her role in attending and participating in this year's World Meeting of Families. Welcome, Julia.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Julia, tell us a little bit about what you do at the USCCB, how you came to that position, and then we'll talk about the World Meeting of Families.
Sure. So I'm Assistant Director for Marriage, Family Life, and Laity at the Secretariat of Laity, Marriage, Family Life, and Youth at USCCB. And this secretariat basically oversees the largest portion of the church because it's the laity who we basically deal with on a day-to-day basis. And it's a big mandate. And what we do is we assist the committee of USCCB bishops who in turn represent the priorities of the conference in respect to promoting the evangelization and faith formation of the laity. So basically, whatever issues the laity are facing, we face together as a church. And we try to address those challenges faced by the laity, by couples, by families, and all of those challenges we face together. So I came to USCCB last October. And as a theologian, my particular focus of study and research has been on vocation and states of life. Mm. And my own life journey actually brought me to discern different vocations, which led me eventually to the vocation of a married woman and mother. So I'm the proud mother of a six-month-old currently.
Mm-hmm. And what's your six-month-old's name?
She's Miriam Grace. Oh, and she's a sweetheart. Yes. I'm partial, of course, but I do enjoy her a lot.
Sure.
And so my role at USCCB I see as part of my vocation at this time and also very timely, especially given the central importance of the family and the renewed recognition of its centrality at a time in which it's being seriously undermined and attacked.
Now, how were you selected to attend, right, the World Meeting of Families?
Mm-hmm.
Are you representing the USCCB there or?
Well, I was asked primarily given my role as assistant director in the secretariat, and I'm not officially representing USCCB.
Okay.
Although I will be speaking, insofar as I am, the assistant director at USCCB, and I will be attending along with a few other colleagues from the secretariat, as well as a few bishops who will be joining us from the U.S. So I was asked basically just to speak on a panel, which is included in the 3-day pastoral congress taking place at the beginning of the world meeting. And each of the 3 days covers a topic from Amoris Laetitia. Mm. And so on Thursday, when I will be speaking, the topic is the family and love, and it's taken from chapters 4 to 6. So my particular panel on which I'll be speaking is Love Made Fruitful, Amoris Laetitia on Cherishing the Gift of New Life. And I'll be speaking together with a barrister, otherwise known as an attorney, from Northern Ireland, and an academic from the Bioethics Center in Oxford. Mm. And so each of us will be speaking for about 10 minutes on this panel, which will be moderated by Bishop Eamon Martin. And so it should be a really interesting celebration and experience. It will be the first time, actually, that I will be attending a World Meeting of Families myself, even though the last one was just in our backyard in Philadelphia.
Right. Now, what is the perspective that you're going to provide on that panel? Is it your perspective as a wife and mother, so someone, a member of the laity who is living this family life from the, feminine perspective, or...?
Yes, precisely. I believe that's another reason why I was asked, because I will be approaching this subject from the perspective of a young wife, mother, as well as professionally from the standpoint of theology and as assistant director for the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. But I do speak. My notes are primarily based on my experience as a young mother and from my role as in the home as a mother and wife. So I speak primarily on Love Made Fruitful. I look at the chapter specifically on the gift of life, and I'm drawing out a couple key elements that consist of life as being brought into the sphere of a man and woman who are married, as that who have given who make that gift of oneself to the other, and then from which that fruit new life comes forth. So I'll be speaking on those issues, and it will touch a little bit upon the unfortunate referendum which took place in May, which has really overturned Irish legislation. I believe from here on out, abortion will now be legalized. So it's an unfortunate turn of events right now in Ireland, but maybe it's also providential that the World Meeting of Families is taking place right there on their soil, because the family's being undermined once more. And this might be a beacon of hope for the Irish people.
Hmm. Are you bringing your family with you?
I am.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yes, I had to bring my little ones, so my husband's coming along too.
Very nice. You won't have the baby at the panel, I assume.
No, she'll probably be in the audience.
A little visual witness.
Yes.
Sure. Great. Okay, so let's talk about the World Meeting of Families in general. Do you know why the first one was called, or a little bit about the history of the World Meeting of Families, and could you share that with us?
Sure. So it was originally started in 1994 when Pope St. John Paul II asked the Pontifical Council for the Family, which is now the Dicastery for Laity, Family, and Life, to establish an international event of prayer, catechesis, and celebration. And this draws participants, families from around the globe. And it's also meant to help strengthen the bonds between families, as well as bear witness to the crucial importance of marriage and the family to all of society. So the World Meeting of Families has since been held every 3 years, and it's been held in Europe, South America, and most recently in Philadelphia. And now it will be in Ireland. And like I just said, you know, this is, I believe, an important event for the Irish people, given this recent referendum. And the Irish, thinking back to somewhat my own Irish roots, I have a maternal grandmother who's Irish. You know, family is a major element in the Irish culture. And so I believe that they are going to welcome this event with open arms, and it will be a beacon of hope for them. And this is also the first World Meeting of Families to be held since the release of Amoris Laetitia, since that was released in 2016. So the World Meeting this year is really going to be based a lot on that apostolic exhortation. Its theme and inspiration is based on Amoris Laetitia.
So would you say that part of the World Meeting of Families, part of the goal is to discuss perhaps how families can begin to live the principles of Amoris Laetitia in their daily lives?
I'm sure that's an element of it. And that's exactly what the Congress, those 3 days of catechesis, are going to be exploring, those elements of Amoris Laetitia that can be applied to family life. And there is a lot there in the apostolic exhortation, to which exhorts and also encourages families to live out their call to be a domestic church.
And why do you think an event like this is so important for the church right now? You spoke a little bit about the referendum in Ireland, but just more generally, you know, for the church in the entire world.
I think this event is important, particularly because not only in the U.S., but across the world, there's this real emphasis on the centrality of families. And since the family in one way or another is being undermined in so many different countries across the world, it's an important reminder to us of what the family is, what its role is in the church, and its foundational importance in society, because family is really at the foundation of society. So if you have strong families, you ultimately have a strong society and a stronger church. So if you look at recent events in the U.S., especially regarding, you know, allegations against clergy and hierarchy, I think that this World Meeting of Families can really serve as a reminder of how much the laity, and specifically the family, looks up to its leaders in the church. But also it's a reminder that the family is really the cradle of all these vocations. And so I believe that when you have, and this is just my own opinion, but there may be problems among our priests and bishops because there might have been problems in the families of origin. And not to say that that's a fact, but it could be one of the symptoms that there were prior problems in the families from which these clergy come. Not always, but if our families of from which our clergy are drawn are virtuous and witness and teach a sexual morality that is true and beautiful as desired by God, most likely their vocations will be holy and virtuous too. So I think it's just a reminder that the family is really the cradle of all vocations. And it's also the place where we form young people,
sure,
young minds and young
virtue,
hearts.
Right.
Exactly. And that domestic church is a microcosm of the entire church. So if there's virtue being instilled there in the heart of the home, then there will be virtue in the entire church, the entire mystical body of Christ.
Right. So an event like this is almost, it's almost like a retreat or like a week of professional development or something, something to gather, you know, families together and strengthen them to go back out in the world and to go out on mission and, you know, strengthen themselves and the better to evangelize eventually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's important to remember because, you know, there can be a lot of conventions and congresses
sure.
and conferences, and sometimes they seem never ending.
Right.
And I do wonder sometimes, you know, where are we seeing the fruits of these of these efforts? Because there's a lot of money, time, energy that is spent in preparing for these big events, and they're wonderful if they are lived well, meaning if there's really the true spirit attached to them, and if there's a real fruit that comes of it. And I do hope that the fruit of this World Meeting of Families is an increase in. In a sense of what family is meant to be and called to be by the church, so that it's not just it's a celebration,
right?
But it's also a call to be who you are, you know? So I hope that families are encouraged to be who they are, domestic churches, and see that witness from other families. So, and I believe that's what Pope St. John Paul II was trying to do. He had so much at heart the family that I think he wanted this to be really a place where families across the world could see, look how we mirror church together from all over the world, that we're all church. And so gain that kind of strength and encouragement from one another.
Now, we're talking a lot about families and the beauty of families, and I'm in a similar life stage as yourself, married with two young children. But, of course, when we talk about these things, I kind of have in the back of my head Catholics who are active participants in the church but perhaps have not been called to family life. Maybe they're called to the single life, or they just haven't, you know, begun a family yet. So in what ways are those Catholics encouraged to participate in an event like this, or just how can those Catholics support families? In a way that, you know, emphasizes their important role that they play as well in the church.
Right. Yeah, it's really important to remember that couples who bear the cross of infertility do have a role in family life. I can relate to that in a way because my own sister has been married for 5 years, and she and my brother-in-law have not been able to have children for one reason or another. It's just hasn't happened yet. So they fill another important role in our lives. Specifically, when my daughter was born, I asked her and her husband to be godparents to Miriam. And they were happy to do so because this makes them spiritual parents of a child. And that, the importance of godparents can't be forgotten. And I think it's something that tends to be forgotten because I don't know really the reason why, but it should be more emphasized because it is an important role to play, and it's essential really in the forming of the Christian character and formation of a child. So
right, you're outsourcing some of that development to
someone
that you can theoretically trust.
That's
and,
right.
You know that they hopefully aren't going to lead your child into error or. You know,
right.
Sin, whatever.
Right, right. It's really a grave responsibility to be a godparent. I'm a godparent to a number of people, to three children. And sometimes I do have to remind myself, you know, that's my responsibility. What am I doing to reach out to them? You know, because I have one godchild in Canada, for example. It's really hard to see him. I don't see him on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
But opening up channels of communication and just staying in touch and making sure that they are being brought up in a Christian household and that they're learning their prayers, you know, based on their age, you know, what kind of issues are they facing? How can maybe I help reach out and talk about those issues with them if there's something, you know, that maybe the parents themselves don't even know how to how to educate on. So it is a major responsibility, and I think that's one of the ways that couples dealing with infertility can recognize their role with families. And of course, there are other things, other forms of fruitfulness, adoption, foster care, volunteer work, acts of charity, mm-hmm. even just to maybe a family that's experiencing financial crisis, or
sure.
Even just by babysitting, just being that example mm-hmm. of another father, mother, in a spiritual sense, that can help out.
Right, and I wonder what you think about kind of the idea that we have our immediate families, our biological families, but there's also a call within our church to build community. And we have this, parishes where you can think of, a parish community where in some sense that becomes your family. And so there's a place for all of the different family units and the single people and couples struggling with infertility or, intergenerational members of that parish community come together and serve one another and celebrate with one another and, grieve, whatever, just to behave as a family would, just on a larger kind of community scale.
Mm-hmm. So. Yes, that's right. And it's important to remember that each of those people in the church has a place and a role. And actually, one thing that we're doing at USCCB at the moment is preparing a pastoral plan to mm-hmm. implement Amoris Laetitia that could be used primarily for ministers in family life and marriage on the diocesan level or the parish level. And one of the aspects of that is how to integrate also people in the single life into our domestic churches, but also the greater parish community,
sure.
recognizing that they have a role there too. And that proximity that we have with so many different states of life within
yes.
the parish community is important to remember. And reaching out to them also, they also can be godparents,
if
they're not married, there's nothing that requires them to be married to be a godmother
sure.
or godfather. So
right.
so there are lots of opportunities in the church for all states of life. And that's one of the reasons why it's always intrigued me. And in my theological research, I've really focused a lot on that.
Great. Now, for those of us who can't make it to Ireland, how can we participate from afar in this event? Is there anything happening, or would you just recommend keeping tabs on the website or?
Right. Actually, I was just looking at their website, and the official website, which is, I believe it's worldmeeting2018.ie for Ireland, is really full of ideas, actually. They've got this really cool downloadable pray-a-thon to help families prepare for the event. They also have a Let's Talk Family podcast. They also have a Prayer Space at Home initiative. It's almost like a competition or contest that invites families to share photos of the spaces where they pray in their homes, and you're invited to upload them to their website so that kind of like a display of
sure,
the different ways
the family oratory.
Yes, right, the family oratory. There's also an official prayer, of course, that can be recited by families. And one idea might even be, and this is just an idea that I had, some families can even gather together maybe in their own living room and hold their own mini event mm-hmm. and watch maybe the papal mass, maybe not live if there's a 6-hour difference, but it kind of depends, I guess, on what time it would be. But I'm sure that at least the papal mass or the Festival of Families would be live, recorded on EWTN or maybe online. And so just preparing your own little mini event maybe among families might be fun, because I know they do that for the World Youth Day. They have like a World Youth Day on your home base,
right.
Yes. Diocesan-wide sometimes or
sure.
nationwide.
Citywide.
And so, right. So something similar along those lines, I haven't heard about officially taking place in dioceses, but families could do it together.
Great. Well, thank you. Those are excellent ideas. Is there anything else you'd like to share about the event, your participation, or the importance of family life in the church? Something to leave our listeners with mm-hmm. as a wrap-up?
Sure. I'll just comment on what Amoris Laetitia says to families. And I think this is, in summary, what it's saying. It's saying, become who you are. Remember that you are a domestic church, and it might sound daunting maybe, but it's really as simple as just living out the call to holiness one day at a time. So the stronger our families are, the stronger our church will be in the United States and across the world.
Great. Well, thank you, Julia. Let's actually end with the official family prayer for the World Meeting of Families, so we can give our listeners a taste of what it is, and then they can hopefully find it for themselves and their families on the website.
Sure.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
God our Father, we are brothers and sisters in Jesus your Son, one family in the spirit of your love. Bless us with the joy of love. Make us patient and kind, gentle and generous, welcoming to those in need. Help us to live your forgiveness and peace. Protect all families with your loving care, especially those for whom we now pray. Increase our faith, strengthen our hope, keep us safe in your love. Make us always grateful for the gift of life that we share. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. Thanks, Julia.
Thank you, Lindsay.